welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest today is Mark Lubin, founder, chief executive officer, and scientist for RZN Nutraceuticals, a company with natural products for the relief of arthritis. He is a 25-year veteran of biomedical engineering and research in the fields of orthopedics, joint disease, implantable cardiac devices, material science, and material chemistry. He holds over a dozen patents, either issued or pending, in these fields. His involvement in arthritis and joint problem natural products is a result of his own joint problem and desire to use natural products. Over those years, he had 12 arthritis-related joint surgeries on his shoulder, wrist, thumbs, knees, hips, and feet, and was in pain every day. His wife also developed blunt trauma arthritis, and this was also a motivating factor in his search for natural products to relieve the pain of arthritis. He will talk about the products he developed. More information is available at www.rznutra.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Mark, and I look forward to hearing about the research you have been involved with and the natural products you have developed and patented for arthritis.
I appreciate your time allowing me to come to your show.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, Mark. First, can you tell us a little bit about your background, Mark?
Yes, I can. My formal academic training is in biomedical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started out in biomedical engineering, I wanted to design $6 million man-type robotics and artificial limbs and that sort of thing. And so I was very much into the joint anatomy, joint physiology, joint replacement hardware, things that could be interfaced directly with living human, the human tissue,
mm-hmm.
the robotics controls, and that sort of thing. And my first several years in the field of biomedical engineering as a career were involved in designing electric elbows and artificial hands and arms for a company that subcontracted to the VA. Then I went to a clinic in White Plains, New York,
mm-hmm.
and they had just established a clinic at this hospital, at Burke Rehabilitation Hospital, for children and juveniles with upper extremity amputations, both traumatic and congenital. And so each patient was unique and different, which I found wonderfully refreshing
mm-hmm.
it, to a certain extent, although there was a certain level of depression involved with people
mm-hmm.
who had serious chunks missing, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting part about it was the need to generate new solutions, unique solutions for each patient with regard to movement, life cycle, daily self-care, feeding, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did a lot of mechanical design, a lot of robotics interface design, and tissue interface to prevent the very devices that I was designing to help them from actually causing tissue necrosis at the interface and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for several years. That clinic closed, and in casting about for a job, I landed a position in the field, although a new aspect of the field for me, and that was as an advanced research engineer at a company in Colorado that was in the cardiac pacemaker business.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that they were looking for people who actually had not been in cardiology before because they wanted fresh sets of eyes and brains on the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the next 17 years, I started out actually designing pacemakers per se,
mm-hmm.
and rapidly switched my interest to investigating and creating new kinds of sensors that were physiologic sensors that would provide feedback to the cardiac pacemaker and or the implantable defibrillator.
Mm-hmm.
The implantable defibs were just coming into vogue at the time. This was in the mid-80s. The holy grail in cardiac pacing has always been to find a way to measure cardiac output,
mm-hmm.
and have the pacemaker adjust itself in its output to the heart, so that cardiac output adjusted to the physiologic needs of the patient, thus allowing patients to run upstairs or play tennis instead of being limited to a steadfast 72 beats per minute as the older, larger pacemakers were.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my job. It kind of branched out into developing new coatings for the sensors to be implanted long-term in the bloodstream and prevent blood clotting, prevent tissue overgrowth, still maintain a viable and reliable physiologic signal. So I developed several sensors along those lines, that some that related to the lengthening and shortening of the right ventricle to prove cardiac pumping. Probably the best sensor that I ever developed was a pressure sensor that could be implanted on the pacemaker lead in the blood vessels, the major blood vessels leading to the right side of the heart,
mm-hmm.
that actually measured respiration, because that part of the pacemaker lead was actually in the chest. And since respiration is a direct function of your body's urge to breathe off CO2 during exercise, the harder you breathed, the more minute volume you were trying to attain, and you could use that signal to reliably stimulate the pacemaker to make the heart pump faster.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a closed feedback loop. It was very, very rewarding. It took 6 years just to figure out how to build the integrated circuit chip that was that small and still a reliable and very rugged pressure sensor.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, we did that. Then, of course, it involved testing in lab animals and retired greyhounds and that sort of thing. Hope that doesn't offend any of your listeners. But greyhounds and other laboratory dogs are a great mechanism as a testbed for cardiac pacing devices, because the animals can be trained to run on a treadmill and thus exercise,
uh-huh.
and we get the full range of both at rest and exercise physiology.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, some of the sensors had to be tested on me, and so when I was living in Denver at the time at the North American headquarters of this company, and some of the things had to be strapped on me, needled into my abdominal muscles, or sorts of things like that, and I'd walk around looking like I was wired to explode.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never get away with it these days.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the mid-80s through to the early 90s, I started to develop some really severe bone spurs and osteoarthritic joints that went into self-destruct from the inside out. And so I wound up enduring 13 major surgeries on large joints. I had 3 rotator cuffs, 3 carpal metacarpal arthritis, anchovy operations on my thumbs, wrists, and forearms, 1 hip scrape, a knee scrape, several operations on my feet and ankle, all to reconstruct these joints to get rid of the bone spurs, all done without implants, using autologous tissues. But the important thing is that through all of this series of operations, I was taking what were then the standard drugs of the day,
mm-hmm.
to prevent pain, swelling, and inflammation, first from the arthritis, then post-surgical. And the problem is, as it is with all pharmaceutical drugs of this type, is that there's a great degree of acclimation and accommodation. So your body gets adjusted to the drug being there, and its level of relief that it provides is degraded seriously. Then you have to up the dosage in order to attain the same level of relief.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a never-ending ladder that you climb. Since all of these pharma drugs carry a fairly heavy load of adverse side effects as baggage, eventually at some point you have to take other drugs to prevent or alleviate the adverse side effects.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found myself on a third level of pharmaceutical management to prevent adverse interactions between the side effect drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here I am in the cardiac pacing business in 1994, and I had blood pressure that was about 160 over 130. And as you're a medical professional, you know that that's way off the charts.
Right.
That was an aneurysm or a myocardial infarction looking for a place to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was overweight by about 35 or 40 pounds. That was all water weight because my kidneys were shutting down. I was self-medicating myself into oblivion with Voltaren, at one point, and that was affecting my liver. And one morning I woke up, my skin was rather sallow, and I looked in my eyes in the mirror, and they were a little tinged a little yellow, and my wife said, "What is happening to you?" And I just pulled the plug on all of it, determined mm-hmm. to find another solution.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my father had some serious war wounds after World War II. When he retired to Fort Lauderdale, Florida in 1972, he started treating himself a lot better. At that time, doctors had told him that he'd live another 6 or 8 months, much like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "No way I'm throwing in the towel." And he went to work looking, reading, and becoming a mind canary for all sorts of what were then fringe and cutting-edge alternative therapeutic approaches to improving his health and his immunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was doing megavitamin therapy and vegetable juicing and ozone therapy and chelation therapy. You name it, he'd try it. And
mm-hmm.
he read up on it. And he became a self-taught naturopath.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived another 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he lived until 1990. Yeah, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
17 years. And he lived a good quality of life right until the very end. And that really impressed me, and it stuck with me. I kind of forgot about it,
mm-hmm.
being the self-inflated biomedical engineer. I said, "Hey, I'm important
mm-hmm.
and I'm educated, you know." Well, all that went away in a flash when I realized that I was killing myself because I was being narrow-minded and Western medicine-ified,
mm-hmm.
as it were, about how to do this. Well, I pulled out some of my dad's books, and I started reading. I walked away from my career in biomedical engineering and spent 2 years doing nothing but reading about herbs that had been traditionally used to treat arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And after the 2 years of reading, I spent another 2 years formulating and mixing and trying different things to come up with the first iteration of a product just for myself that
mm-hmm.
really worked. That was the seed of where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I was searching, I started with three principles. I had to be able to have or obtain a chemical analysis. I wanted herbs, and as you well know, there are thousands of herbs
right.
that are,
mm-hmm.
have medicinal applications
right.
in various folkloric medicine cultures, and that's kind of an umbrella term, I guess. But I looked for herbs that, number one, shared common groups of chemicals, phytochemicals. I looked for herbs that had a very long term of usage in recorded history.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked for herbs that were popular still to this day in more than one folkloric medicine culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so the advantage of the multicultural use of these herbs is that, in a way, I regard it that if you have an herb, say juniper, for instance, that can be found to be of long-term usage in 3 or 4 or 5 folkloric medicine cultures around the world, in these cultures is separated by geography, oceans, centuries, it means that groups of people that didn't know each other all arrived at the same solution for an uncomfortable human condition.
Mm-hmm.
That speaks volumes about the veracity of that herb and its effects,
mm-hmm.
or lack of effects. Of course, because folkloric medicine is so popularized, if an herb isn't effective, or if there's a string of dead bodies back into history, people aren't using it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted herbs that were popular, that were still being used, and that had this multifaceted proven applicability. To me, that represents, although it's anecdotal, perhaps, it represents a 50-century, multi-million-person clinical trial of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally narrowed, with my reading and my early experiments, I narrowed it down to 5 herbs, and those are the ones I focused on.
Mm-hmm. And those are the ones, then, that you have developed and put on the market?
That's correct. If you were to go to the store, and I view this as one of the problems that pushed me to develop a better delivery system,
mm-hmm.
which is an integral part of how this works.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the question that I had, was why did you feel it necessary to develop a new approach
well, here we are. Okay? I felt it was necessary because I wasn't getting the results that I wanted or expected for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, at this point in time, strictly for myself. It was, I was very self-centered about this. My wife, fortunately, was able to support us both.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get relieved of my pain and suffering. I didn't want to do this anymore, and I certainly wasn't going back to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
The herbal remedies have, some herbal remedies have a somewhat limited effectiveness when used in most traditional methods, I feel, because of the following.
Mm-hmm.
Herbs or herbal extracts are regarded by your body as food molecules. They're ingested as food molecules. Now, a human digestive system has evolved to slice and dice large molecules or complex molecules that, for whatever reason, whether it's polarity or surface tension or just the sheer size of the molecule, our digestive systems are designed to chop them into sizes large enough, small enough to go across the luminal membrane of the small intestine and into the bloodstream, where they are then delivered after passing through the liver.
Mm-hmm.
They're delivered to the tissues to provide chemical energy at the mm-hmm. cellular level. Now, when a phytochemical that has pharmaceutical potency almost invariably depends on the complete three-dimensional stereochemical structure of that molecule to have a pharmacologic effect. Once you rob it of that by starting to slice it and dice it into pieces small enough to go through the transluminal membrane, you no longer have the potency.
Mm-hmm.
So why have it there? Well, it'll be absorbed as food, and your body will derive some chemical energy from it. But you won't have the pharmacologic effect.
Mm-hmm.
Its pharmacologic effects are only registered by unmetabolized, undigested phytochemical molecules. So I said to myself that I convinced myself that the reason that you had to take such a, what seemed to me to be an overly large quantity of tea, decoctions, extracts, whatever, however you, or powdered or dried herbs, such a large quantity in order to achieve an effect was for this very reason, that these herbs were being digested in a way that robbed them of their pharmaceutical potency in the stomach and small intestine
mm-hmm.
before they got to the blood. So the question is how to deliver the right material to the blood. And I developed a delivery system that protects the phytochemicals in the extracts from the digestive system and actually helps speed it along into the bloodstream. The curious thing is that since the blood is a pH of, 8.3, something like that, certainly it's much more basic than the lumen of the small intestine. The delivery system I developed remains intact at the pH of the intestine, but once it goes into the blood, the complex is hydrolyzed, and the carrier, if you will, goes on its merry way and is metabolized as food. And the phytochemical now finds itself in the bloodstream with all of its potency and all of its structure intact. Now, that's very important from two aspects. One is the fact that all of the structure provides it or allows it to have the pharmaceutical potency for which you ingested it. The second thing, just as important, is that chemical signaling is a well-known and fairly well-documented biological phenomenon. And what that means is that chemicals have a way of signaling sensor cells and sensor receptors on certain organs to kick in a function if the function involves trapping that chemical or getting it out of circulation because it's toxic or might be toxic. That's what the liver does.
Mm-hmm.
That's why all of the food that you eat goes into the hepatic portal veins and goes through the liver before it gets to your body. The liver filters it. And it's not just like a mesh net bag. It filters it chemically
mm-hmm.
to a large extent. Well, when phytochemicals that are natural and not toxic are in the bloodstream, they have that signaling property that allows them to get a pass, so to speak, from the liver. And they just are sent on their merry way. They're not filtered out as toxins or possible toxins.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the fragments being unrecognizable as of any value whatsoever, to a large degree, are filtered out. An example would be if you wanted to make a really noticeable dent in a very short length of time in your cold symptoms, you'd have to drink a gallon of echinacea tea to do it, because only a very small percentage is actually getting through to the place where the symptoms devolve from. And I've just gone through the liturgy of why you'd have to drink such a large quantity of tea. So that same thing holds true whether it's a concentrated decoction or a powdered herb or a powdered extract. Now, of course, there are some things that are so toxic that it doesn't take very much volume. For instance, you don't need very much belladonna to kill yourself. But on the other hand, the difference between therapeutic as a psychotropic drug or deadly is very, very small, and so there's almost no room for mistakes there.
Right. You know? You have developed then some new non-toxic natural treatments for arthritis, and you have done clinical studies on these, right?
Yes, sir.
And why do you feel that clinical studies are so important?
Well, in the case of drugs or devices, which is the background that I've come from educationally, they're very important to prove efficacy, safety, and long-term utility. The same thing holds true for, or should hold true, for herbal remedies and natural remedies. Regardless of the fact that something has a traditional use, whether it's 1,000 years or 5,000 years, if you're not documenting it, then it's still hearsay. The scientist in me wants to say, well, the natural Aquarian age person in me wants to say, wow, that's great. Everybody's using it. It can't be wrong because nobody's dying. But the scientist in me wants the data. Show me the numbers. You know? And so in order to prove the safety and prove the efficacy in a documented fashion, you have to do a clinical trial. And I believe that that's one of the major downfalls of the natural products industry, is that very few people actually engage in a clinical trial of the finished product. That's different than pulling down research that other people have done on individual ingredients or phytochemicals in those individual ingredients in vitro. They've done it on cell cultures, or they've done it on lab mice or something like that. That's not a clinical trial of your product. Herbs have so many chemicals in them that are known to be pharmacologically active that there's a certain synergy between herbs when you mix them together. Our products have the five basic herbs that we've started with are juniper, goldenrod, dandelion, meadowsweet, and willow, white willow, along with grape extract. Not grape seed extract, but whole grape extract. Now, just in juniper alone, there are among the five herbs, let me start with that. Among the five herbs I just mentioned, there are over 200 chemicals, phytochemicals, that are known to be pharmacologically active in different degrees and in different tissues and organ systems. But there are several times that 200 that are known to be there, some of them in parts per million, some of them in parts per billion, and some of them in fractional parts per billion quantities. Now, the number of combinations is so astronomical as to not even being worth addressing, but the fact remains that the effectiveness of the whole as a product is much greater than the effectiveness of any of those individual herbs at those same dosages. And that's because there's a certain by your bootstraps type of synergistic amplification of the effect. It's something that's known, and I took advantage of it by mixing these herbs together. Now, I think that a clinical trial is warranted. In fact, I think it's demanded on a finished product, because that's the only place you see this synergy. Clinical trials are very important to assure people that what they're about to take is safe and effective. And that gets to one of the great myths about what I think are among the most popular myths about herbal remedies. One is that I think that people in the West anyway, have an uncommon and unfounded expectation that the herbs are going to be the kind of let's put the hammer down on those symptoms type effectiveness that they expect from drugs. that doesn't always work that way. People have to expect that it's going to take a little time to steer the ship gently instead of wrenching it over.
Right.
More importantly, I think that people have to have the expectation that this is real, not a placebo effect, and not some sort of mumbo-jumbo that doesn't always work. It can and will work reliably, as our clinical studies have shown, if you take the time to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all of those things are that,
right.
that sort of information derives
right. Right.
and devolves from a clinical study having numbers in hand,
mm-hmm.
not just anecdotal stories.
Right.
So clinical studies are important.
Mm-hmm. So would you like to then tell us about your specific products and how the listeners can reach you?
Yes, sir, I would. Our company is RZN Nutraceuticals. Our website is www.RZN, like Nancy, UT, like Tom, RA.com. And they can call our 800 number. The 800 number is 1-800-226-7031.
Mm-hmm.
And the arthritis product is called Arthrizen Relief. We also have a version of that product with MSM in it. And the herbal content is the same because we utilize the MSM as a booster rocket for
mm-hmm.
the Arthrizen herbal remedy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a migraine product, also clinically tested, based on the same five herbs in different ratios and with some interesting twists on the manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
That's called Migrazin Relief, and it's available there also at the website. Migrazin Relief is has been clinically tested and shown to relieve an ongoing active migraine in 30 to 60 minutes.
Mm.
And if it's taken prophylactically, as our clinical trial, all the clinical trials are available on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Migrazin Relief will, if it's taken prophylactically every day, essentially squash migraines to zero.
Mm-hmm.
Recurrence becomes a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a cure, but it's a cure.
Right.
The arthritis product was found to relieve 87% of the test subject's discomfort within 4 to 7 days, and after day 10, no subject had any pain at all for the remainder of the clinical trial.
Great. Good. Well, I thank you very much, Mark. This has been interesting.
Thank you. It's been very nice being on your show, and I look forward to listening to it on the radio.
Thank you. My second guest is Elise Longo, a certified holistic health counselor and licensed massage therapist who works with arthritis patients. She has been in the health and wellness fields for over 14 years and graduated from the Swedish Institute College of Health Sciences and the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. She has worked in nursing homes, adult day centers, and nonprofit programs, and is the owner and founder of Enlightened Health Choice, a wellness company. More information is available at www.EliseLongo.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Elise, and I look forward to hearing how you work with arthritis patients as a massage therapist and holistic health counselor.
Oh, I just wanted to say thank you, Carl, and I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. I'm glad you are here. Now, tell me first, what foods do you advocate for your clients, and which ones do you suggest that they avoid if they have arthritis?
Okay, well, to start, I really truly believe that what you eat directly affects how we feel. And so there's a lot of truth in this saying that you are what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
The foods that I recommend to my clients are foods that are very alkaline. Whole foods such as vegetables and fruit, basically in their uncooked natural state, and, you know, keeping it as fresh as possible, organic when they can. And if they can't do organic, then to do maybe a farmer's market or a local farmer's, and to, you know, to get
mm-hmm.
food as fresh as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend that they have 7 to 9 servings a day of very freshly colored fruits and vegetables. And foods that are high in sulfur, which will repair cartilage and bone, are like asparagus, some cabbage, onion, garlic. So So maybe on a daily basis, if they can add that to the diet, that would help.
Mm-hmm.
Acidic foods, which are basically our processed foods, fried foods, and meats, beans, cheese, coffee, alcohol, sugar, I avoid that. I
mm-hmm.
tell them to try to avoid that because that will just increase the inflammation, which is really what causes all that pain that they're feeling with
mm-hmm.
arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if they try to keep a food diary and do an elimination diet to see how what they're eating is making them feel. Some people tend to eat the same food over and over again, and it might be something that's really not good for them. So by keeping this food diary, they will immediately see what it is, how they feel when they eat certain foods, and then they'll know what it is they can eliminate.
Mm-hmm.
The food we eat becomes our blood and then becomes our cells, our thoughts, and then our action. So it is very important to watch what it is we put into our mouth. And nutrition is very, very important in treating arthritis.
Right. I like to add that it's not necessarily what looks to be acidic or alkaline that converts the body. For example, lemon, which you would think is acidic,
exactly,
is one
alkaline.
Of the best alkalizers in the body.
Right, that's right. And also if they add more antioxidant spices to their diet, such as like ginger, cinnamon, turmeric, chili, and even some green and black tea, they all are very powerful in fighting inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And the nightshade vegetables, such as peppers, eggplants, tomatoes, potatoes, all have proven to really increase the inflammation in your diet.
Right. I had someone yesterday, and will be airing his, who talked the whole time about the nightshade vegetables and the effects that they have on the body.
Yes, yes, they really do,
mm-hmm.
you know. So diet really is very, very important in many different diseases. So it's important to take note of what you're eating and what you're putting into your body.
Right. And now one of the books I like very much, and I interviewed him, is Dr. Patrick Quillen,
okay,
who wrote Beat Cancer with Nutrition.
Right.
And his is an excellent book on how you can use nutrition to prevent and to supplement as part of your cancer treatment. So that was one of the books that I've looked at on nutrition. I didn't realize before how important nutrition was in cancer.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Well, cancer also, there's a lot of inflammation going on in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And heart disease as well. You know, food has a very powerful, powerful impact. And, you know, most people, you know, if they're shopping in the store and they see all those green leafy vegetables, they don't know what to do with it and they don't know what they are.
Right.
So, you
right.
know, getting yourself maybe a little book about vegetables, you know, with some recipes, you know, is a first step into helping you learn and taste different foods.
Mm-hmm. Now, exercise is very important for patients with arthritis. And which ones do you suggest to people that you see?
It depends on the individual person. Everyone is at a different level and different pain and different discomfort. So the first thing I suggest is if they're overweight, to definitely lose some weight because that puts added pressure on their joints and it will just add to the discomfort. Exercise, you have to move around. You have to circulate that blood. So what I recommend is very low-impact exercise if they're able to walk maybe 20 to 30 minutes a day, you know, to keep moving the best they can, to do some maybe weight-bearing exercises, even a chair exercise if they're not able to get up and walk.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different equipment out there that, you know, that mimics a stationary bike that you could just put right in front of you and sit in a chair and just move your legs up and down gently. Anything that'll keep your blood flowing, because when you're inactive, your joints and everything will stiffen up and the swelling will increase. And when you do exercise, it releases endorphins in your body, which is that feel-good hormone.
Mm-hmm.
People try, you know, immediately when they feel pain, they tighten up. But it's a lot of times because they're very stiff and they're not moving enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blood flow is important. You have to really have that blood flowing to circulate and to send all of that to clear the toxins out of your body, to send the oxygen to the cells. Very important to exercise.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a massage therapist, I assume that you do massage with patients that have arthritis.
And yes.
Do you also recommend meditation, acupuncture, chiropractic care?
Absolutely. I feel the whole area of stress and relaxation, there's so many modalities out there today to help us relax and help us to de-stress. In my practice, in my massage practice, I work with people and I try to explain to them that by getting massage, they're going to increase the circulation. They're also going to increase their flexibility, their mobility. It will decrease their pain, and it's going to relieve the muscle aches and stiffness, and it will give you an overall feeling of relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work with some essential oils to help them relax as well if they don't have any kind of sensitivity to the smells. I'll ask about that first. But the tight muscles will definitely feel so much better after being massaged. Just the touch mm-hmm. of another human being and having that time alone that you're just constantly, that you're just focusing on yourself and you're able to just let go is just so, so important in treating the pain that comes with arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I recommend that they could try acupuncture, which is another, great form of relaxation. And the acupuncture definitely, he will work with the tiny needles and he'll place them in the different areas of the body that seem to have energy blockages or where there's extra inflammation. And then this helps to, rebalance the body and it will continue the flow of life force energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's another alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could also do meditation. Focusing on your breathing, because most of us breathe so shallowly in our diaphragm, we don't do any deep breathing, so the oxygen is never reaching past your diaphragm. So being still and maybe getting up in the morning and just taking that time when you first get out of bed and you're feeling so stiff and achy from a night's sleep to just relax and, maybe have a cup of tea and do some deep breathing. And try to make it a ritual. Try to do this every day if you can.
Mm-hmm.
And learn to listen to your body. Your body is your healer. I mean, it's telling you what you need, but most of us don't take the time to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And holistic medicine encourages you to find the healing properties within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We all have the power, the God-given power, to heal ourselves if we will only take the time to listen to what our body is trying to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Another way to relax and to reduce stress, I also recommend chiropractors. And they basically are doctors that are trained in realigning the spine. And what they do is they do gentle manual manipulations on your spine to release any joint and soft tissue tightness or inflammation that you might be feeling. And it's all to help release the tension and the tightness of your muscles that are causing this pain from the arthritis. I keep saying inflammation because inflammation is the cause of the pain that
mm-hmm.
people are feeling
right.
When they have arthritis, the, mm-hmm. the stiff joints and the swelling and the warmthness and the redness in the joints. And then that causes, having that extra inflammation will cause you to have trouble moving the joints normally, and
mm-hmm.
that causes a lot of pain.
It also is the cause of back pain. So
right.
Once you get the inflammation cleared up, then you're halfway there, and I think a lot of people that think they can just exercise and all, and it'll take care of it, but the exercise is the worst thing you can do until you get the inflammation cleared up.
Right, that's right. That's why I say very low-impact exercise, chair
mm-hmm.
exercise, nothing that's going to add additional stress to
right.
your joints.
Right.
And also very important is to sleep on a nice firm mattress and to watch your posture.
Mm-hmm.
Sit correctly, when you're sitting with your feet both on the ground, to stand as straight as you possibly can, because if you're slumping, then you're putting more pressure on joints, and then you could have a problem in another area because you're trying to make up for the area that's hurting you. You're compensating.
Right. Now, I found when I had lung cancer,
right.
But being positive and being around positive people was very therapeutic and I believe was an important part of my recovery. Now, is this also true with arthritis and with pain?
Carl, you could not have said it better. It is true with any illness, with anything in life. Keeping a positive attitude, even at the times when you're experiencing the most pain, it's the most helpful to calm down your body because your thoughts become your actions. What you're thinking, your body doesn't know that your thoughts, that it's not actually happening. So you, if you have these negative thoughts, your body's thinking that you're actually going through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to stay in the present and in the moment and not to look back at what was or what will be is very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And having family members and friends and group support that you can go to help you cope with what's going on makes it always much easier. So this way you know that you're not alone in this. You're not the only one that's experiencing this.
Mm-hmm.
And also taking one day at a time. And we're all individuals. So, you know, hearing your story about someone else that has arthritis doesn't mean that's going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that because so-and-so is progressing terribly that that's going to be you. If you listen to your body and you see, you know, do the diet, do the exercise, try to de-stress, and see what it is that works for you as an individual and do that, you'll be ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to remember, a pill may take away the pain, but it's only temporary.
Right.
A holistic approach
cause some other problems.
That's it. That's right. It might. You know, a general holistic approach will improve your outlook and your attitude so that you will not feel like the victim of the condition, but you'll now be the empowered individual that wants to have that good, optimum health.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take part in your illness, And you don't have someone dictating to you, telling you what it is you should do, and you understand, you do reading and you research it as best as you can, you feel more empowered. And that's very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And important to be around people that are very, very positive, that are going to lift you up and to laugh and just to try to breathe through the pain and know that you're doing all you can to make it better. And if you do the other dietary and the exercise and the stress reduction, it's going to make a change. It definitely will.
Right. I mentioned that the medications may cause other problems because I've had two examples recently. One was that my doctor put me on Celebrex when he thought I had a prostate problem, and I took it, and I ended up with a severed tendon in my finger. And then they discovered that it was causing this in other people. The other problem I had was I took an antibiotic again for a prostate when he thought I had a prostate problem, and I ended up with a yeast infection. So things that seem like they're helping one condition often are going to create another problem in the body because it's only dealing with symptoms. It's not getting at the underlying cause.
It's not getting to the root of the cause. Absolutely.
Right.
I agree. It's so true.
Now, what supplements and vitamins do you suggest then that people use for inflammation and joint pain that are not going to create some other problems?
Yes. Well, first of all, I always recommend that they check with their physician, okay, because you don't know the prescriptions that all people are on. I mean, they might tell you, but you don't know exactly what the interaction can be. But some of the ones that are very, very efficient in working with arthritis and that I recommend to my clients, one of them is fish oil, which is the omega-3s. It contains a direct source of omega-3 fatty acids, and that reduces joint inflammation, and it also helps to promote the joint lubrication. So that's definitely one that I recommend. Definitely a high-potency multivitamin to be taken on a daily basis, and a formula that is very rich in a blend of antioxidants, and this will help prevent joint destruction. And the most popular ones that most people have heard of is MSM, which is methyl sulfonyl methane. And this is a natural anti-inflammatory, and it contains the mineral sulfur, which I was speaking back into before on the foods that contain sulfur. that are very helpful in repairing joint cartilage and helping with inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And glucosamine sulfate. And most of the formulas will also contain chondroitin sulfate, which is a related compound. And this reduces joint pain and rebuilds the cartilage, and especially is good for osteoarthritis.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the main ones that I recommend. And it does make a difference. It absolutely does. And it helps to increase the blood flow and to the tissues around the joints, and to stimulate the circulation, the digestion, and the elimination, which help then to eliminate all the toxins in our body.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else then you would like to add, at least before we look at the services you offer and how listeners can reach you?
Yes. Well, I'd like to say, even though arthritis is an incurable disease, that there's much that we can do naturally to alleviate some of the symptoms and to keep them at bay. So eating a healthy arthritis diet, trying to keep it alkaline and not acidic, avoiding toxins, you know, that produce more inflammation. And just remember to breathe and take time to relax, maybe to journal, to meditate, to visualize, any relaxation techniques that you could possibly do that will help you. And maybe you can find a new hobby, because a lot of times when people have arthritis, things that they were able to do, they can no longer do anymore. So maybe if they find a new hobby that they can replace the old one with, and this will also help them to give them a new outlook on life and maybe their livelihood. So, you know, just to empower themselves as much as possible to take control of their own health,
mm-hmm.
and to be an advocate for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, Elisa, would you like to talk about your services and how the listeners can reach you?
Sure. Okay. Well, basically, I have a private practice located in the New Jersey, New York area, but I also have long-distance counseling consultations and programs that I do online. I could be reached at www.elise, that's ELLICELONGO.com, and basically my passion is to help guide both men and women beyond the physical needs of food, but just to help them to understand how the choices of food that they make and the experience of eating not only impacts your body and your emotions and your thoughts and your energy, but it impacts your life. And you must take an active role in your health care.
Mm-hmm.
And I help them to educate and guide and support them in what's ailing them, or what if they just want to remain healthy and just do preventative medicine. Because
mm-hmm.
I believe when you have your health, everything else is just cake.
Right, right. Well, I thank you very much, Elise, for being with us and for sharing your information with the listeners.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Carl. And it was so nice to be here and to talk to you and share this information today.
Thank you. Because we are approaching the Christmas and New Year's holiday, I plan to move away from my arthritis series for two programs to bring you some inspiring messages from two spiritual people who will talk about Jesus and what is ahead for 2012. On December 26, I will interview Tanika Reinar from England, who is a gifted psychic and groundbreaking pioneer in the body-mind-spirit field. For the past 16 years, Jesus' spirit has communicated through Tanika, and many people from all walks of life have had the opportunity to ask Jesus questions. She will talk about answers to some of these questions that range from the relationship of Jesus and Mary of Magdalene to how Jesus would like to be remembered today. These questions and answers are published in Tanika's book, A Question for Jesus, which I personally found fascinating and uplifting. Her other book, Journey Home, has received awards and is available in 17 countries. You will find this an inspiring presentation. On January 9th, I will interview Patricia Corey from Italy, who is another gifted psychic and has been clairvoyant all of her life. She is author of numerous books, including The Cosmos of Soul, Atlantis rising, No More Secrets, No More Lies, The Syrian Seal, and others. She also has CDs and a Syrian Seal developed from a pattern that was channeled to her. She is also the host of Beyond the Matrix on BBS Radio. For more than 30 years, she has studied mysticism, philosophy, ancient civilizations, metaphysical healing, and spirituality. In 1996, she established Soul Quest Journeys to lead fellow spirit travelers to Nepal, Tibet, Asia, Mexico, Egypt, Europe, and Peru. Patricia is very enthusiastic about the future on Earth. We'll discuss the things we are currently experiencing and what is in store for the year 2012 that has been long anticipated by many. Her message will be much more encouraging than the current movie about the same subject. I look forward to having you join me for these encouraging programs. I also remind you of my website, www.holistichealthshow.com, where all shows are found following their broadcast on BBS Radio. They can also be found on iTunes, Podcast Alley, and Podcast Pickle. There is current information on my website 3 times a week about the series being presented, such as arthritis currently. A sign-up form is also available on the site for my free holistic health newsletter that has been emailed monthly for the past 3 years. My most recent book that is the format for this show, titled Healthy Holistic Aging, is also available on the site. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a happy holiday.